You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
Here we go, everyone. Let's build the energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. Have you ever wondered? From temples located on windswept mountain terraces to ancient monolithic structures built in unexpected locations whose patronage has long since been lost to history, the stories of the spiritual earth resound with amazing tales still untold. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. This week, we welcome our special guest, Reverend Roy of the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center and HealingAmulet.com in Nashville, Tennessee, bringing us today's topic, Working with Energy for Health and Success. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Reverend Roy. Make sure you're logged in to Blog Talk Radio and join in to the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host, Reverend Art. Take it away.
Thank you for that intro, Reverend James, and welcome once again to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. Really excited for this week's show, Working with Energy for Health and Success. A wonderful topic, so much to explore, and I can't think of a better friend to bring this to the table than Reverend Roy. But before we jump in and bring Roy on the line, how are things with you, Reverend James? And it seems like we've lost Reverend James momentarily. It is definitely a Monday here at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. So, without further ado, we will bring on Reverend Roy. How are you doing today, Reverend Roy?
I am great. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Lots of good stuff going on here. So, how are things going in Nashville?
Things are going really well. We got a beautiful day here today, although we've been in a cold spell again under freeze warnings, but hopefully spring will get started here in the next week.
Yeah, the flowers and the trees, it's kind of like they're popping in and out going, oh, is it spring? Oh, nope, not yet, not yet. Oh, it's warm
yet.
Now. It, right? It's
We generally go through four winters here.
Yeah, it sounds like here in the mountains too. We'll share it and we'll make it through.
Yes,
so tell us a little bit about yourself, the time here with us on Mystics and Mages, and now let the listeners know, who is Reverend Roy? Let's share some of your history, like how you got into, you know, these practices that you do, and, you know, share some of that.
Okay. So I guess I started down this road about 25 years ago now. I was Catholic. Approaching the end of my Catholic days, I knew that wasn't for me, and it was time to move on. And I met this person, met a new friend, and we started talking and hanging out together. And one day he told me, he says, "I'm a pagan. And I hope that's okay with you." And I was like, you know, honestly, I don't even know what that is. So, so he takes me through this process of explaining it, and that was in the summer. And he told me that, and we had been talking for weeks then, and he told me he was going to a Samhain festival in another state, you know, 4-day camping trip, and would I like to go? And, honestly, at that point, I was still like a little bit iffy on this, you know, but I was like, sure, let's go. I didn't know for sure what was going to happen at that point, but I had the most amazing time. And on Saturday, they were actually doing a play as part of their Samhain ritual. And one of the women that was there was doing Grandmother Wolf in the play. And I don't know, I watched her all day become the wolf. I watched her demeanor change. I watched the way she walked change. She took on this persona. She became Grandmother Wolf. And at that point, I was hooked. That was it. I had found my home, that there's more than the Catholic Church. And you know, that just sent me on this, this adventure, going down every rabbit hole I could find. And I did Wicca
really
for a while.
It's an adventure, too.
It is. And I'm still doing that. But, you know, I did the whole... I did Wicca for a while, and then paganism, and then which led me to doing Buddhism, studied that for a long time, and went back to paganism, and, you know, even for a very short period, went back to the Catholic Church, but then lifelong, and where it put me today is in this place where I see they're all connected, and you know, there's more than one path, and they all go to the same place, and there's this core belief beneath all of it. So, you know, today I'm just kind of open to all of it. Always looking for the next rabbit hole to go down.
And it seems like you can't turn over a stone without finding one. There's just so much out there to discover, to learn, to, you know, kind of to build your persona, your personal path. And a lot of people,
and that's what it's
kind
about,
of struggle. You know, a lot of people are overwhelmed. They're like, oh, if, you know, they feel like if I pick this, I have to go with this, and I'm kind of stuck with this. And that's not the case. You know, really, it's a voyage of self-discovery. And it really sounds like you've kind of run the gamut of the big names in the game. It's really interesting to me.
And ask a lot of people too, besides, you know, being, you know, not knowing what to do. I think a lot of people struggle with feeling like they have permission to do it. But so many of us
really
have been told what to believe, and they're like, can I really look at this? Is that okay? So, I love giving people permission to go on adventures.
And that really is just, it's a huge point. And you're confronted with this sort of a mentality, you know, especially in social media groups and things like that. Oh, you can't do this or you can't do that. Well, yeah, you can't. Mm-hmm. You know, there are some things, yes, you need to be initiated to do.
True.
But find somebody from that path, you know, get to know them, get to learn and expand your horizons and really just go for it is honestly the way to, for at least in my estimation and in those I kind of coach in my spiritual coaching practice, it's just go for it. You know, find what speaks to you. What sets your heart on fire?
Where is your passion?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm at a point now, and I guess I'm old enough and learned enough that I'm beyond the rules. You know, it's what works for you. In my early days, you know, I was part of an initiation group, and you know that just didn't work very well for me. There were too many rules. I don't like rules, but you know, I remember the one night, you know, it was like this explosion of drama because I set the blue candle in the west, and it's like, calm down, people. We're not going to all die. So, you know, if
right.
I had to put a label on me today, which I don't like labels, but if I had to put one, I tell people I'm a pantheist. That's where my passion is. It's believing in the universe and the energy of the universe, and the universe is me, and I am the universe, and so that's where I'm at today.
And all is connected.
Everything is connected.
Yeah, and that's really a fantastic message for those who are seeking their path is really to take that time and find out who you are, find out, you know, what really is your passion, where does your heart lie, and go with it, just run with it. So that's fantastic, and I know that you also enjoy teaching a lot of these subjects as well.
I do. And I'm actually at a point now where I'm getting the message of especially as far as healing modalities go, that it's time for me to stop doing and start teaching. And the synchronicities on that are popping up. People contacting me to be mentors and stuff like that. So, you know, I see where that's my next phase is the stop doing individual appointments and with people and start doing mentoring and teaching and working on a big teaching calendar now that hopefully I'll get out here in the next week.
And I do remember seeing that you have an upcoming Reiki class as well. Am I right?
I do. Yeah, I taught a lot of Reiki classes before COVID, and I slowed down after that. So, yeah, I've got a Reiki master coming up here in a couple of weeks. And that's always
a fun class
to teach.
As a Reiki master myself, you know, there's nothing more fulfilling than, you know, bringing others into that healing energy, that healing space, and just watching them blossom and, you know, the energy that builds from sharing Reiki with others. And a lot of people, you know, really don't know that just how far Reiki goes. The top hospitals in the United States offer Reiki to their patients in-house. You know, there are these alternate healing departments now that are being developed. You know, you see them like Cedars-Sinai, the Cleveland Clinic, the Mayo Clinic. And this really is a thing, folks. And the benefits
are outstanding.
And
that's happening here in Nashville at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has now incorporated Reiki into their healing and aromatherapy as well.
That's fantastic. And it's just going to continue to grow because the benefits of energy healing, it's as an adjunct to that allopathic medicine, they're really seeing the benefits. They're seeing that growth, that intrinsic value that it brings. And it's kind of an exciting time to be alive, feeling that validation of, yes, this is for everybody. This is a great thing. And this is for you to experience.
And, you know, besides the healing part of Reiki itself, one of the things that just kind of warms my heart is when, you know, students get back in touch with me and the doors that open for them. It's like, I did Reiki, I've got my Reiki now, and now I'm going to go study this, and now I'm going to add this modality. So, you know, like we touched on earlier, it's like that getting that Reiki attunement gave them the permission they needed to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with their own transformation.
Very much so, very much so. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about what it is that you do with the Healing Amulet Center.
So I, in my personal practice, I do Reiki. I've had two different shamanic practitioner teachers do some shamanic work. I'm a licensed reflexologist, and I always worked that practice as just the self-employed, add it to my income every year and pay taxes on it. So last year I decided to actually take that and incorporate it as a business so that I can do more legally. I can sell product now, and I can, you know, put classes under that. So Healing Amulet started as a desire to expand my practice and be able to offer more under one umbrella. So I still have the healing modalities there. The teaching falls under that. And I'm getting ready to roll out a whole line of products. Actually, just got started. Awesome. All the recipes are done and started making that this week. So that's going to be coming out soon. So Healing Amulet was born out of taking what I do and a way to offer that under its own little umbrella. My own little, I guess my own little metaphysical store on the web.
And I know from following you on Facebook, the growth that's been going on. It's been fun watching the evolution of the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center. You know, it's really, really taking form. And I, you know, in knowing you and having, you know, we've met in person and having
right.
had the opportunity to get to know you, I just know that this is going to be a fantastic addition to the region surrounding Nashville and within Nashville itself, because you really have a fantastic kind of overall business going in Nashville. You're also part of Aroma G's Botanica.
Right. So yeah, my husband Papa G and I own Aroma G's. He started that just, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, I guess, before we met. When we came together, we actually met in a gay pagan Yahoo group. That tells you when that happened. But I was
a
already,
Yahoo group. What are
making,
those?
Yeah, right. Oh, that was a long time ago. And so he was doing that, making soap. And I was on my own path at that point of, and we were both, you know, in the metaphysical pagan world. And I was on my own path of doing natural products, of making natural things. And that's how we came together. And then when we came together as a couple, it's like, well, let's take what you're doing here and turn this into a business. And it's just grown since then. You know, keep adding to it and adding to it, and then adding the metaphysical side of it. And at that time, I was still working in the corporate world, which I left going on 11 years ago. And wow. When I left that, that was a great decision. And I was working that, you know, Aroma G's part-time and corporate world full-time. And, you know, when I left there, it was like, you know, if I could work this 50, 60 hours a week on Aroma G's that I was doing for them, we could do something here. And boom, you know, you've seen where we are today.
It really is just a wonderful destination. You know, Reverend James and I both have had the opportunity to visit on several occasions. And, you know, it's even just in the short time that we've known each other, you know, you and I, just watching the evolution of the store and the growth. You have wonderful employees. You have the energy of this building. And, I mean, we're talking about energy today. The energy in this building is just, it's hard to describe. You walk in and you feel like you're at home. And you both really have built a wonderful addition to the Nashville community.
Well, thank you. My approach to this and what I tell, you know, the local people and employees and all that stuff is we're a community. That's what we wanted to build, a community that honored many paths, where everybody feels welcome, everybody feels safe, everybody, you know, is at peace in being there. You know, and that's what drives it. You know, every decision we make is like, how about the community? Is this good for the community we're wanting to build? And, you know, that's where we make a decision of to add or not add something. So,
you know, and you really, honestly, when you walk through the door, you can see that dedication. Just from having had the opportunity to spend some time there, just everyone from all walks of life. It's, you know, there's representation in every room, and just respect. And it's, I mean, no pun intended. It really is a magical experience. And then on top of it, everything else, you also celebrate the community within Nashville, because you host your the Folk Magic Festival.
Right. We do that every fall. We had done it for several years, had to quit. We set it aside for whatever it was, 2 or 3 years, and after COVID. And then we had our first one this past fall. So that is always a lot of fun.
That was a wonderful experience to come in and, you know, really, and a lot of people are used to attending expos and different things of that nature, you know, in their respective parts of the U.S., but you did this all for free. There were classes offered for free. There was food and beverage. And,
lots of food.
You know, and I don't know who you guys had cater, but I'm definitely there for the food too, because that was, y'all put out a great spread. So
you know,
I'm really looking forward.
I'm going to do a plug here. All that food, all that catering came from Publix, the local Publix. Those people are amazing. But, you know, this festival we just had, on a personal level, I just stood around in shock and watching. Because, like I said, we had, you know, not done this for 2 years because of COVID. And it was smaller before COVID, and I was thinking, oh man, have the people forgot us? You know, I was so worried about doing this festival, and you know, it just, on a personal level, it just warmed my heart to see so many people there that day. It's like they came, you know, they came back. You know, it was awesome.
Yeah, from being there from the beginning through the almost the closing bell, just the excitement that I was witnessing from everybody was just, they were so happy to have this back in the community. We met, I can't tell you how many people, and just had some of the most amazing discussions while we were there. You know, it really is, I can't say it in a different way. You've both built such a gem within this community. Everybody needs, if you're passing through Nashville, you need to stop at Aroma Cheese.
Thank you. You know, and we can't have this conversation without me, you know, giving so much credit to our employees too. You know, we're a metaphysical store. We support many paths, but we're a retail store. So when it comes down to, you know, when we need to hire a new employee, you know, those are, can be some of the wildest interviews, because it, you know, you want someone that fits the vibe, and you want someone who knows the, you know, the different paths. And it's like, okay, well, what kind of path can you bring to the table, and what languages do you bring to the table? And there are all these questions you can go through on just interviewing people. And, you know, so we end up with this great mix of employees too, that, you know, there's such knowledge in that store by the different people. So, you know, they get a whole lot of credit for that.
It really, to me, there's a bit of a model that could be built for the ideal experience within all the metaphysical communities as a whole, is the inclusion and the diversity that you've built. It's evident as soon as you walk in the door. You know, you've given everyone their own space also to showcase their spirituality, their path. Everyone is able to build their own altar space,
right,
in that main room. I'd never seen anything like that before. And it kind of brought a little bit of a tear to my eye as I walked around, and I'm just like, this really is just fantastic.
You know, I've had employees tell me that, you know, I've never worked anywhere where I could wear my necklaces, you know, that had my path on it and stuff. And it's like, I want you to do that. You have permission here to be yourself. I want everyone authentic.
And, you know, this is just the foundation of not just Aroma Cheese, but the Healing Amulet Mindfulness Center. And all of these things that you guys are bringing to the community. And it's a celebration of magic, of spirituality, of spiritualism, of literally every walk of life. And I can't take my hat off more to both you and Papa G for building what you've built. This is like a legacy store.
That's good to hear. It's just, you know, it's about empowerment is what it is. It's about building a place where people can empower themselves, whoever they are.
Find themselves, empower themselves, grow, learn. It's all on the table on Donaldson Pike.
But, you know, Greg and I have kind of become, you know, people know us through the store. So many people know us through the store, and it's, you know, it's kind of become funny that, you know, it's like if we go out to eat at a restaurant, you know, at night or something, in Donaldson, you know, somebody will go by the by the table. Y'all own that place on Donaldson Pike, don't you? Yeah.
that's us. Local celebrity.
Yeah, right.
Well, that, you know, what does the future hold? I know you said we've talked a little bit about the teaching and things. What kind of classes and stuff are you guys bringing to, you know, upcoming that folks can look forward to?
Well, as far as the store goes, you know, the last few weeks have been just crazy busy for us. We had started doing our little free classes every Saturday, and we had to put that on hold now for, I think, 3 weeks. So those are going to pick back up. We are kind of rearranging our reader schedule to make it shorter on Sundays, so we have a small classroom so we can start getting regular classes in the store on Sunday afternoon. So, you know, right now, as far as the store goes, we're looking for teachers. We're looking for people that can, you know, bring different things to the store and, you know, qualified teachers that you know the different modalities, different paths, and so forth. So I'm currently in the process of scheduling, working with a, I'm going to say this wrong, he is a teacher, he's a godfather of Paulo something. I'll say it wrong. I don't have it in front of me. But he's going to come do an introductory class on that here in a couple of weeks. It'll probably be a couple of hour class that will be done there in the store. So that's the things the store is working on. We're trying to focus on paths and techniques and things like that. I'm working on, through my own business, healing modality classes. I want to get back to, I used to do a lot of meditation classes, shamanic drumming journeys. I'm going to be bringing all of those back here really quick. And then just doing my own line of classes on magic. I meet so many people that are starting out. They don't know where to start. It's like, well, what do I put on my altar? Well, what do these colors mean? So I've been sitting down and designing a whole series of classes on just basic witchcraft. You know, every week we'll go over a different thing, all the little pieces. Here's what you have to do to get started, and here's what they mean, and here's how you work with them. And then also I've been feeling this call, and I've been ignoring it, but I can't ignore it anymore. I'm going to start some spiritual training, healing sessions, group sessions designed specifically for men. And I'm really excited about that. Getting men to open up and heal can be a challenge sometimes. Really excited to get that going. And that will be more of a group type settings. So I've actually considered changing my whole healing practice over to a healing center for men. We'll see. I'm still thinking that one through.
Well, it definitely sounds like the evolution continues. You know, that's really that's just a fantastic lineup of things that you guys are working on, and yourself individually as well. That's all I can say is sign me up and I will be there. it really is. Again,
one of the things I enjoy the most that I haven't started back since COVID is the shamanic journeys. I love leading those, taking people on their journey. And then we spend some time after the journey letting those who want to, not required, but those who want to share. And it's just so amazing to listen to. They all heard the same drum, the same guided meditation, but they all went somewhere different and they all got a different message out of it. And it's just so beautiful to hear that at the end of the night. So
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, we just had a show on soul retrieval, which is also something that falls within like shamanic practices and such. I think it'd be fantastic to have a show together because Deb Voith, who I know you're also familiar with, we're all members of AIR, the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. You know, to bring maybe you and Deb both back together on an upcoming show, and we'll dedicate the entire program to talking about, you know, shamanic journeying and, you know, the processes and, you know, kind of shedding some light on that. That sounds like something that we might need to work on, Roy.
That sounds like a lot of fun to me. And the great thing about shamanic practices is everyone does it in their own way. So, you know, she's going to enlighten me on things, and I would hopefully enlighten her on things, because it's a very personal path.
We will definitely need to pencil this in, and stay tuned for everybody. Check us out. Follow us on Mystics and Mages on Facebook and on Instagram, and we'll definitely be sharing that out. And before we jump to our sponsor announcement here, where can folks find y'all on the social medias?
So our store is Aroma G's Botanica, and that you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. Well, I think we have them all. And then my practice is Healing Amulet. And again, it's on all the big social medias.
You also
on
have a YouTube
Instagram,
channel, right?
We have a YouTube channel. On Instagram, mine is actually not Healing Amulet. It's Reverend Roy on Instagram and Twitter. So,
well, everybody definitely needs to check out all of your social medias. I know on your YouTube channel, you regularly post the free Saturday classes that you have in store, the presentations from last year's Folk Magic Festival are out there, and you'll be able to, anybody that wants to check that out, be able to see Reverend James presenting his moving candle spells from last year.
That's right. You know, he's there.
That was a wonderful program. But, well, why don't we take a pause here, and we'll get a message from our sponsors, and we'll be back and jump into our topic for today, working with energy for health and success. Be right back.
LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, the Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays, 5 to 6, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Thursdays, 1 to 2, and Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays, 7 to 8, all time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern. All of our shows are available in archives at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, where you will see them listed by title and episode and with clickable links. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Art.
Thank you, Reverend James. And here we go, working with energy for health and success. I'm going to turn this over to you, Roy, and We already have actually quite a few questions popping up in the chat, but why don't you give us a little bit of an intro on how working with energy, how one even begins?
So, as I said earlier, if I had to put a path on myself, it's pantheism. I believe in the universe, and the universe is made of energy, and there's only one energy that runs through everything. And it may get called by different names. You know, there's universal life force, there's ki, and there's chi, and there's prana, but they all at the base are the same thing. And I am a true believer that when it comes to healing, that the body was originally designed to heal itself. And through the use of energy, we can work the body to remind the body, to wake it up that this is the state you're supposed to be in, that perfect state, which is called homeostasis. And we do the same thing with reflexology. It's about getting the body back to healing itself. Now, unfortunately, we live in a world with a lot of toxins and so forth, so that makes it a little more difficult, and our bodies forget that we can do this, and we forget that we do this. But, you know, I heard, if you're familiar with Dolores Cannon, I listened to one of her lectures one time, and she was kind of taking a different take on the creation story, and she said when, you know, God was the void, and the void is, you know, one of my rabbit holes I enjoy going down, and wanted to experience something. So he started expanding himself through energy, what we would probably now call the Big Bang Theory. And God, as she explained it, experiences things through people. Our experiences, he feels that energy, and we take it back to him. And that lecture kind of changed my life because it told me to keep my energy in check, that, you know, the universe is feeling what I feel. And then the universe is sending that back out for other people to feel. And I kind of let that thought drive me, you know, in trying to do my day. I get in a bad mood like anybody does. But, you know, it's that energy that is the core of everything is what drives us. It's what affects the world around us. And, you know, if I'm always in a bad mood, I'm going to always attract bad things. I'm going to attract bad energy. If I'm in a good mood, I'm going to attract good energy. So, you know, we can use that same energy to start healing ourselves. We can't separate it from ourselves. That's the very core of Reiki, is healing with energy. The same way with shamanism. Shamanism is about connecting to the energy of the spirits. Everyone has an energy. Every spirit has an energy. And through, you know, shamanic practices, we connect with that energy of whatever spirit we're working with or wants to talk to us that day. And we can bring that energy back to the person that we're working with or back to ourselves. So, you know, I'm also an aromatherapist, studied essential oils for many years, and each oil has its own energy, because each oil comes from an herb or a plant, and each herb or plant has an energy. And we can grab those oils, those essential oils, and those herbs, and use them for healing as well, because each one has its own energy, and we can incorporate that into our, you know, our mind, our soul, our body. So I'm a big believer in we can heal ourselves. Western medicine has its place today. You know, you get in a wreck, they can patch you up. That's wonderful. I'm not knocking Western medicine, but I think that, you know, if we heal our people, if we heal ourselves at the energetic level, that's where it starts. That's the core of our being. And that will heal our bodies, that will heal our mind, our spirit, our soul. So that is the way I approach healing with energy.
You actually brought up a really good point when you're talking about Western medicine. Is a lot of people don't have the opportunity to experience Eastern medicine. You know, when you talk about in like ancient China, or in still nowadays in modern day China and throughout Asia. You get into Ayurveda in India and things of that nature, and they utilize that the energy of the plants and the herbs and bring about that healing, that it feels like we are somewhat missing in Western medicine. Having studied a little bit of like Ayurveda and such, you know, it just fascinates me how it gets down to that energetic level. It's like we're down to those subatomic particles, and bringing people back to being whole. That's holistic medicine. You have your allopathic / Western, you know, you have your energy healing, you have the herbal healing. It's all together. It's all one holistic view. And actually, before we moved on real quick too, I wanted to bounce back. Could you share again the name of the lecturer with our listeners?
Dolores Cannon.
Okay. I just wanted to get that into the chat for everyone.
She's okay. Fascinating.
All right.
Yeah,
and,
when you mentioned holistic healing, many people, you know, they don't understand, well, they don't comprehend that, you know, we're more than a body. And you can't heal one physical ailment. There was an energetic imbalance that allowed that physical ailment to happen. And the physical ailment causes a spiritual ailment. You want to heal the whole thing. You can't just heal one piece, or it'll just come right back. It doesn't heal the other pieces of you. So, I love holistic
healing.
Or
you have complications healing down the road, and you feel like you've never quite recovered because you know something was left out of that treatment plan. And a lot of time, unfortunately, it is the spiritual, energetic side of things. You know, in the chat, somebody asked, you know, how many different kinds of energy work there are. And
oh, wow.
I mean, we've spoken about Reiki. there are so many different energy healing modalities. I mean, we've mentioned a few. Even within Reiki, there are divisions. You know, you have your traditional Usui Reiki. You have Holy Fire Reiki. But then there's like pranic healing, and there's quantum touch. Jump in here anytime, Roy. You can help me list them all.
Well, I don't know if you could list them all. Oh, wow. Yeah, because even Qigong is a form of healing. It's about moving that energy through you.
Tai Chi.
Tai Chi, yes. Wow, I don't know. And then there are so many people who have opened themselves up and listened and have created their own energy modality. You know, it's things they do that, you know, they didn't do a certification with a teacher. It was a gift that was given to them that they do. So, you know, I was taught Reiki. I teach Reiki. But I do it my own way, and I have my own techniques that were never taught to me. And, you know, there's these individual modalities that people work with.
It really does. You know, there's all these modalities come about, and it's some people are saying, well, aren't you just, you know, just slicing this too thin and making all of these divisions and such. And really, it's kind of like what we talked about in the first segment of the show. You know, it's part of that finding your path and finding what works for you. You know, while we can't really say when energy begins. You know, a lot of people, one of the things that I like to say is, you know, we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. It's not the other way around. We're not physical beings having a spiritual experience. And that energy, it's inherent in everything. Every human being, if we talk Buddhism, it's in every stone, even. It's in every insect. So the potential for modality more and more modalities developing is infinite, really, when it comes down to it. I mean, would you agree?
I agree. And, you know, that in some Native American traditions, the belief that when a person, you know, their physical body dies, is that their energy stays. Their energy is released to the universe and stays in particles around us. And that's such a beautiful thought that you know, the energy of that person is still here, which is completely different idea than, say, the reincarnation idea of Eastern philosophy. But in some ways, they're the same way. It's like, you know, this person, just like the energy never ends. It's always still here. It's always coming back. It always stays. And a lot of times, too, and I don't know if you experience this in doing Reiki-type work, you know, you will tap into those previous lives that people have been around. So you've got that energy there, too, the energy that happened before this life, that needs its own healing, because we keep bringing that back with us, and it always stays with us, and it always stays here through this, you know, this vortex that we're living in.
The continuity of it all. You know, there's actually a really fantastic question in our chat. It says, why can some people not sense energy at all and others are especially sensitive? What's your take on that?
I think, okay, my take is that everyone can experience it. Some have gifts, I guess, to feel it stronger and quicker. And I think that gift, you know, those kind of skills can be built on with practice. I think the people who may believe they can't sense any energy are just truly not opening themselves up to it. You know, and my suggestion to somebody like that is, you know, start with some meditation, slow your mind down, open yourself up. You'll feel it. It'll happen. I think we can all feel it. Some of us just have to practice.
It's kind of like, you know, when we also talk about like mediumship, these gifts and abilities are inherent in all of us through, from my perspective, you know, a lot of people have been conditioned to, you know, kind of say, you know, that's a lot of hooey.
Right.
And that's honestly, that conditioning really comes down to a basic way of control and keeping us from really taking hold of these gifts that we all have.
I think being guarded with what I say, there are some paths that feel threatened for their members to accept this and experience that and realize there's more to this universe than they're being taught.
That was,
so we call it bad.
Very well put, and very, very, very safely put. But I know what you're talking about, and really, it's very upsetting to be in a position of having to prove things that have been known since ancient times. We've just forgotten. You know,
and it's time for us to remember.
The age of Aquarius. You know,
that's right.
Energy just runs through everything. Energy powers our magic. You know, it's when we talk to our ancestors in, you know, various folk practices, you know, that you'd alluded to, that spiritual energy still exists. The energy of that consciousness still exists. That is what we are connecting with. That is what we're bringing to us for, you know, our manifestations. You know, through meditation, we're centering our energy. We're building our energy. We're, you know, getting that focus and really being able to move forward in this world. Just, you know, with a much stronger foundation. You know, energy work is, it's not just pervades everything we do. You know,
and when we're doing energy work, we're like a conduit, which is what I teach my students. Being a Reiki master doesn't, you know, it doesn't make me a guru. It makes me a better conduit for that energy. And I just act as a vessel to deliver this energy to you. And you're going to take it and do with it what you will. You can ignore it if you don't want to heal yet or don't feel like you can. Or you can take it and start healing your soul and running with it. You know, that happens on an individual level. There are some people that don't want to be healed.
That's always an interesting whole other conversation is, there was a book that I read by Carolyn Miss. I might have mispronounced her last name, M-Y-S-S. It's why people can heal and why they don't is somewhat, I know I'm murdering that title, but she really gets into the whys behind people's like hesitation, people's pushback on the energetic and spiritual levels. It's an excellent book. If you haven't seen it or read it, it's definitely one I recommend it.
It's a great book. I've read that a couple of times. Eckhart Tolle,
so you're familiar
one
with
of
it.
His books. Eckhart Tolle in one of his books talks about pain body. I've witnessed this many times when people are in a physical pain or, you know, an emotional pain, that becomes their identity. It becomes who they are. This pain that I live in every day is who I am. So it is very uncomfortable for some people to take that away, because then they're left with the only thing they're left with is an identity crisis. Who am I now? You know, what do I do at this point? My own mother had real bad arthritis of the spine, many surgeries on her spine and pins and screws and all that stuff. But that was her identity. When she met somebody new, you know, that'd be the first thing she would tell them is how many surgeries she's had and how much medicine she takes a day and how much pain she's in, because that's who she was, you know, through no fault of her own. That became her identity. And if I could have touched her and just took all that away like a miracle, she would not have let me, because then she wouldn't know who she was. She wouldn't know what she was left with. So, you know, healing can very often create, you know, this identity crisis in people, and they're not ready to deal with it.
That's so true. And you know, it doesn't help that it's something that's consistently pushed to the wayside, the concept of the energy healing, and denounced, I guess, is the word I'm looking for, by those who probably should be exploring more into how it is working. Not how it could work, but how it is working. Because I know you, as a Reiki master and energy healer, have experienced this as well. I mean, you see the end result. And what others call miracles, we're like, no, it's we're bringing it back.
Right. Taking it back to where it was supposed to be all along. And one of the things that I experience a lot when I'm healing is, you know, in touching a person or reading their energy, you know, these pains that they have, or, you know, this shoulder that doesn't work right, or this headache that I'm getting, you know, if you read the energy of that pain, that illness, whatever it is, then very often that's attached to the energy of a trauma that happened in their life, or just an event that happened in their life. It doesn't always have to be a trauma. You know, we hold on to those things. And when we hold on to an energy that affected us, especially negatively, then we, you know, we weaken our physical energy, and we let pain come in. We let illness come in. So it's about letting go. You got to heal on all levels.
Very true. And, you know, for individuals that are, you know, just getting started on, we'll just say a healing path, you know, it's not these things, Reiki and the shamanic practices, initiatory and non-initiatory, they're not difficult to learn. Like, you don't have to go to Japan to learn Reiki.
No.
It's much like what, like we say when you're looking for, you know, a root work practitioner or a reader, you know, find somebody that you connect with, find somebody that you are comfortable with, that, you know, you feel drawn to, and, you know, just reach out, ask them, you know, can you share this with me? And really, it just starts to build and spread these abilities around the world. I know there's even organizations that are starting, like, World Healing Days, where everyone that practices healing arts can come together, and just everyone focuses on the same problems to bring about change. And, you know, this, it really could, energy work could really revolutionize the, maybe hopefully take away a lot of the stress and pain and difficulty that everyone is experiencing nowadays. And
that's
allow
why
us
I
to
doing Reiki shares
grow
too.
As people.
Doing group Reiki shares, those are good. I don't know if you remember back when there was the bad shooting at Pulse in Florida, that gay club.
Yes.
You know, that just affected communities across the country. And I was feeling it in Nashville, too. So me and a friend put together a Reiki share for Pulse. And that's the biggest turnout I've ever had at a Reiki share, because there were just so many people, even in our community, that needed healing from that. So, I mean, when we can share that with people, then, you know, that's what it's all about.
And actually, I know I mentioned the world healing, and you were talking about putting together the Reiki share. That's actually one thing that we haven't touched on, is energy work does not require you to be even in the same room with someone.
It does not. You can do healing energy remotely, and that is truly just pure energy work. It's connecting to that person at an energetic level and sending that energy to them so they can, you know, can start their healing process. You can send that energy, you know, you can use the same techniques to send energy back to a point in someone's life where something happened and you can't erase what happened, but you can start the healing process there and bring it forward. You know, I've even done work with sending healing energy back to past lives so that that healing starts there. It doesn't change what happened, but it starts the healing at a different level. So, yeah, you know, through Reiki, we do learn those tools to do that. And they're techniques, you know, that are taught. And then you make it your own, hopefully. You know, you start doing it your own way.
And, you know, I'm in my practice, you know, I don't personally feel that there ever is a bad time or flip side, a perfect time to be doing energy healing. Like, you know, when you get into talking about spell work, you know, we talk about working by the phases of the moon or different times of day, what are the clock hands going up, clock hands going down, things of that nature, specific days of the week for different intentions. With energy work, there is none of that. Is that how you feel about it as well, Roy?
I do feel that way. I will say when I do remote sessions, my favorite way to do that is to find out what time someone goes to bed and do it while they're asleep, because that higher self is so open when you're asleep and so accepting that they seem to take the energy better. You know, there's never any resistance. So, you know, I don't always get the opportunity to do it that way, but that is my preference. So that's the only time I put a preference on time.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point.
I prefer to work on someone when, you know, if they're going through cycles of not feeling well or going through cycles of being depressed, it's like, well, let's do it while you're doing that. Don't put it off.
No time like the present.
That's right.
That's awesome. Awesome. Just checking out the chat real quick, because definitely been a lively chat as well today. You know,
I admit I haven't been watching.
How do you? It's all good. How do you prepare for an energy work session?
How do I prepare? Mostly I just ground myself and quiet my mind. I don't want to take anything into a session with me. You know, I don't want to go into a session with the idea of, you know, dang, I haven't got this done today. so, you know, for me,
right,
it's just grounding. And my definition of grounding is returning to the self. You know, just bringing my energy back to me and living in my own energy. And that's how I try to go into a session. And making the people, the second part of that is making, you know, the person receiving the energy completely comfortable, saying, you know, you're in a safe space and you're be comfortable and just accept this energy. And, you know, so that they're going to be more accepting if they know that they're safe and they can ask questions and so forth.
Very true. And I know one thing, because I also have that like meditative sort of ramp up before doing a session, but I also go through and I'll sage the room. I'll smudge the room and cleanse the area around me too. And even if I'm doing distance work, it's not just for the in-person experience, but even with distance work and just to ensure that I am sending nothing but that pure healing energy to the intended target.
And I do clear my space. That's true. I do that beforehand. Sometimes I use oil. Sometimes I use a spray that I use. So different things.
And you know, that's another thing too, is having had the opportunity several times to work with other healers and practitioners, you know, in tandem, you know, both in person and through distance healing or distance energy work, period. You know, it definitely adds a lot of layers, and I want to say strength to what it is that we're doing. Have you had that same experience?
Of working with other practitioners? Is that what you mean?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, I have had that experience. I mean, you know, everyone brings their own style to this, and they bring their own energy to it. And I love seeing, I like swapping sessions with people to feel their energy and how they approach this, you know, how they start a session, how they end a session. And I don't mean I go into it for just that reason, but, you know, I love experiencing how other people do energy sessions, you know, how they do it different from me. So, and I think I tell people that, you know, it's the one area where I will say you should shop around, and find that person that you're completely comfortable with and you connect with and their energy feels good to you, because you're going to get the most out of it if you're completely comfortable.
Very true. And I mean, I've personally in my practice worked with the addition of, you know, crystals for various things. And, you know, I've learned a lot from other practitioners who have utilized like singing bowls in their practice in combination with Reiki. And, you know, it's really wonderful to see just how everything comes together. And, you know, we've talked a lot about healing. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I use healing bowls a lot in a session. I like using those. I like the vibration.
The healing side of energy work. And let's see if we can get some of the wealth side in, the wealth and success. What are some of the ideas you have from that perspective?
So as far as the wealth and success side go, you know, it's about also just connecting with that energy. I'm not huge on the, what do you call it? I just said like the movie, The Secret. I think it takes a little more work than that. but I do believe we have to resonate with an energy of success. We have to resonate with an energy that says, I deserve this, and that I can have this, and that I am capable of this. And you have to walk around with that energy, and you have to surround yourself with that energy. And I do my own little rituals at times, you know, if I'm wanting to start something new with the business or introduce something new or make a change, you know, I go through my own little, oh, I have my own little weird dance ritual where I move my hands around me and I surround myself with that energy, that this is going to be successful and that people are going to want this. And, you know, one of the biggest things, though, it you've got to overcome is that feeling of, you got to get rid of that feeling of unworthiness. We're all worthy, and we can all have it. I believe in abundance. Same thing that goes into when I'm doing magic work. It's like tapping into that energy that this client I'm doing magical work for deserves this, and they need this as part of their healing, and they're worthy of having this healing. They're worthy of having more money in their lives. They're worthy of having a better job. So it's tapping into that energy while tapping into their energy and combining this nice little package. So the universe says, oh, okay, you know, here you go. It's yours. Reach out and grab it.
You know, and that's the interesting side of you know, doing a lot of spell work and magic is, you know, it really is, it does contain an element of energy work. When you light a candle, there's the light energy. When you dress a candle, you're calling in that spiritual energy of the herbs. You know, when you're using a condition oil, it has the energy of the herbs and the prayers and all of that that has been, you know, spoken into it. And, you know, a lot of people I feel sometimes forget that this is also a component of energy work.
It is. And there's this, you know, this wavy line between healing and magic where they cross, and you can't separate, and to me, you can't separate the two. There's the energy of, you know, of me, the practitioner. There's the energy of the person you're doing work for. There's the energy of the target of that work, if it is. The herbs have an energy. If you put stones in your magic, they've got energy. The fire has got energy. And each individual herb has its own energy. And, you know, and it's about taking these herbs and thanking them for their work and pulling their energy into that magic and combining them to create a new energy. You know, if I put four or five herbs together in a bowl and mix them up and bless them, you know, I'm creating a new energy from the combination of those. And it's even about watching the herbs, feeling their energy and realizing, hey, these two don't really like each other. Let's don't put this together next time. So, you know, I'll probably go off a deep end on some of this stuff. But, you know, it's just everything I do, I work with the energy of what I'm working with.
You know, you kind of reminded me of a lecture that I attended at one point in time. It was titled, Why Does Magic Work? And I'll never forget, I was sitting there and was so excited. And the presenter walks in and says, and gets all ready and sets up the podium and everything, you know, sets the stage. And the time comes and he starts the lecture and he says, so we're here to learn, why does magic work? And he looks at us all, you know, dramatic pause, and says, everything is energy. Closed his book and walked out of the room.
Yeah, that was your answer.
It was so funny to me. Like, it was shocking, and I laughed. I mean, he did come in, and there was more to the lecture, but, you know, that was the basis that he started from, is really, you know, you're working with the spiritual energy, in some cases, like, you know, lodestones, the physical, you know, that magnetic energy. We talk about, you know, charging, sending out charged money to seek and find and bring wealth to us. You know, it's the energy behind these things that we're working with.
I see Ms. Kat asked a question. Is energy work different than magic? If so, how? If not, why? Why not? Is energy work different than magic? And, you know, I think that's really on an individual level, but for me, the answer is no, it's not different. Because I, as a practitioner of either healing or magic, approach everything from an energetic level. I believe magic happens at an energetic level. Some people might not agree with that. They may approach it differently. But I myself wouldn't be able to approach it differently. I wouldn't know how to do that.
You know,
it's still working with the energy of everything in front of you, of who you're working with, what you're working with, your tools.
You know, I agree, because I think even in the process of fixing a candle, the item, the candle, the basic candle itself, it has its energy. And, you know, as you go through the process and you dress it with oil, you dress it with herb, whatever is going to be is being used in that spell work, you know, at least for myself, you can actually perceptively watch as the aura of these items, as they combine, it grows.
It does grow.
And, you know, when you make your condition oil, you know, you have your oils, you have your ingredients, you have your herbs and what have you. You put them together and as they combine, it continues to grow. You pray over it. It grows even further. It shines brighter and brighter. And, you know, to me, I think it's really hard to separate the energy from magic.
You know, one of the things I teach my students when I'm doing energy classes is that there is nothing on this planet that is man-made. Everything comes from somewhere on this earth. You know, and when we're doing magic, you know, we got the candles, you got the wick, it came from cotton. If a candle wax is made of a petroleum, well, somewhere that eventually, you know, or previously came out of the ground as a petroleum product. It could be a soy wax that came from a plant, you know, a soy plant. There's really nothing here that's man-made. Everything came from this earth, or the air we breathe. So everything has got an energy. It's just about learning to tap into it.
And we've just managed to discover the formulary of manipulating the energies to create new forms of energy. It's, you know, it goes back to,
I
guess you say, well, yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head with that one. You know, it's like, it goes back to, you know, just the basic physics. You know, energy is not created or destroyed. It is just changed.
It changes and it moves.
Yes. You can focus it. You write your intentions. You focus your personal energy. You do your petitions. You focus your personal energy onto that petition, into that work, to affect change. And the more, to me, the more you can focus on that, the better your outcomes are.
Right. And also, you know, when you start an energy healing sessions, you have a conversation with your client. And in those short few minutes, you listen to what they say. You watch how they move. You watch their mannerisms. And you get a peek into who they are and why they're there and how this affects them. You know, the same thing to me happens when you're doing magic. When you talk to that client and they tell you what's going on and why they want to make this change and the things they put into their petition when they're wanting you to do work for them, you're getting a glimpse of who this person is and why this is important to them. And, you know, in both instances, you are picking up on their energy, you're reading their energy, and you're going to put that right back into the healing or the magic and make it personal for them.
Very true. Very true. That's yet another endorsement for finding a practitioner that you connect with.
I love it when I get, you know, someone wants me to do magic work and they send me a petition that's, you know, you open this petition, this email or whatever, and it's a lot longer than you expected to get. But you know what? You can get so much information from those about who they are and why they need this. You know, I love it. The more I know about a person, the more I feel like I can direct this energy to help them.
Right. Well, we have just a few moments left here. It's hard to believe another hour and a half has flown by. And this has been such a great discussion on, you know, the intrinsics of energy. Is there any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
You know, I would like to say to everyone, and I say this to people in the store and so forth, is about don't be afraid to step out of the norm. Explore. Go on an adventure. See what resonates with you. And forget the rules. There are no rules. you know, universal rules. You know, just step outside of it. Step out of what you've been taught and see what resonates with you. See what healing you can find in that. You know, find your own rabbit hole. And, you know, don't let anybody tell you that this is wrong or you can't do that, because you certainly can do that. I've had some great teachers in my life. And I've had people who just made one sentence that changed my life. You know, it's about listening to what other people say and learning from them.
And never stopping the learning.
Never stop, no. Because the universe,
you know,
never stops changing. You can't learn it all.
Exactly. You know, people come in and out of our lives. There's that poem that I really believe in, that, you know, a reason, a season, or a lifetime. But there's so much that can be learned. And I've learned so much in the short, even from you and Papa G as well, in such a short time. I've learned invaluable lessons from Nagashiva and Miss Cat Ironwood. I learned from Reverend James every day. You know, we need to be open to that learning.
We do. From each other. And sharing what we know.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for tonight. I hope everybody has enjoyed your time with us this evening. So until next time we meet, keep the magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, Reverend Roy of HealingAmulet.com in Nashville, Tennessee, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Astrological Magical Conference will be Clifford Lowe of CliffLowe.com in New York City, discussing the revival of astrological magic. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at folkconjure.com, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics Thursdays and Fridays from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. From all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics, Mages, Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come and sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thanks again, Reverend Roy, and I hope you'll come back and join us. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Come join us in talking with Clifford Lowe. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
As you welcome the new year, we invite you to celebrate with Palmetto State Armory, your go-to destination for all your firearm and outdoor needs. Whether you're a seasoned shooter or just starting out, we've got you covered from handguns and rifles, ammo and optics, and more. We offer a vast selection of top-quality products at unbeatable prices. and our knowledgeable staff are always ready to assist you in finding everything you need. Visit Palmetto State Armory today, either in-store or online, and let us help you make this new year one to remember. Happy New Year from all of us at Palmetto State Armory.
Welcome back. All right, Jimmy, our Army veteran for $400. Are you ready to answer the next question?
Actually, I'm good.
Huh?
Well, I already earn and save $473 a year on average with Navy Federal Credit Union. So, yeah.
All members of the armed forces, all veterans, and their families can earn and save more every year with a Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Insured by NCUA. Dollar value based on the 2022 Navy Federal Member Giveback Study.